There's a message in that, isn't there? Appreciate that challenge. Well, take your Bible at this time and turn to Psalm 96. Book of Psalms, and find the 96th Psalm. And as you're finding that, if you would join me in standing for the reading of God's Word, Psalm 96. We're going to just read the first four verses to start with. We'll reference a couple others in this chapter as we go through the message this morning. But Psalm 96, verses 1 through 4, and the Word of God says this: Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Lord, thank you for the service thus far. It's been a joy to sing, to fellowship, to hear from what you're doing in these two families' lives. Lord, to know that you're still sending people out into the harvest field. Lord, to declare your glory among the heathen. God, I pray that you would work in our hearts this morning and encourage us, Lord, to do the same here in our own Jerusalem. Lord, I ask that you'd guide and direct during this time, in this name. Thank you. You may be seated. So in studying for this message, I was finding out what the context of Psalm 96 is all about. And really, it's a reference to what is going to eventually happen down the road when Jesus comes back in bodily form and sets up his 1,000-year millennial reign. And this is a reference to the earthly kingdom of Jesus Christ. In verse number 13 of this chapter, it says, Before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth, he shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. So this is a reference to sometime in the future. And we're looking forward to getting into eschatology here on Wednesday nights very shortly. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we get there, but this is a reference to that. This psalm is, most of us are familiar with the Christmas hymn, Joy to the World. Well, that is really a reference to the second coming of Jesus Christ when he comes to rule and reign here on earth. If you notice in verse number 11, it says, Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof, let the fields be joyful, and all that is therein, then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh. And so it's a reference to the future reign of Jesus Christ here on this earth. And by the way, there won't be any election fraud, right? And there'll be no January 6th talk. He'll be the one in charge, and there will be no debate about it. And I'm looking forward to that. And there will be no debates leading up to it to see who is going to be better in the debate. No, Jesus Christ will rule and reign here on this earth. And so this psalm is a reference to what's going to be happening as a result of that and during that time. So you might say, well, why are we looking at it today? I mean, this has nothing to do with today. It has to do with somewhere down the road. Well, just because that's the case, just because this is a reference to sometime down the road, doesn't mean that God doesn't want to rule and reign in our hearts today. He does. And while he's going to set up a physical kingdom down the road, he is right now desiring to be the king of all of our hearts and all of our lives. And so these things can still apply to us even today. Now, our theme for 2024 here at Cornerstone Baptist Church, as you know, is to glorify God. See, we want to live our lives for the purpose of bringing glory to God. That should be my purpose. That should be yours, to bring glory to God. So, but according to this passage, especially in verse number 3, is where we're going to be zeroing in this morning. So according to this passage, not only were we to bring glory to God, we're also to declare his glory to others. So we're to bring glory to God, yes, but here we're also then to declare his glory to others. And really, this is, most of us have heard this phrase, to that we are to know him and then to make him known. Spend our lives getting to know him, as Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. So to spend our lives getting to learn about him and knowing him, but then making him known as well. Not just getting puffed up with knowledge, but using that knowledge to help and bless others. So this morning, the message is entitled Declare His Glory Among the Heathen, and I got that, of course, from verse number 3. Well, how do we do that? How do we declare his glory and among the heathen and his wonders among all people? Well, I want to kind of dive into this and dissect verse number 3 a little bit. And if we're going to be effective at declaring his glory, first we must understand the proclaiming part of that process. We must understand the proclaiming, because he says here in verse number 3 first, the word declare. Declare his glory. Now, I realize we're in the South, and we go, I do declare. We're talking more about getting out, getting the message out, proclaiming, right? Heralding out the truth of who God is. Now, I am thankful for the gospel that saved me, aren't you? I'm thankful for the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I'm thankful for what that entails in my life. And I should be so thankful that it then propels me to tell others. I remember when I was engaged to be married to my wife, I remember the Sunday after I asked my wife, who was not my wife at the time, Julie, to be my wife. We got engaged on a Saturday, and I was a youth pastor at the time, and I remember the next day, I was so thankful that she said yes. I could not keep it to myself. So I told everybody in my Sunday in my Sunday school class, all the teens there, and everyone I could tell, I'm engaged to be married. I'm going to be marrying this girl. She said yes. Can you believe it? And they're like, no, we can't actually. I just was so thankful that she was willing to spend the rest of her life with me that I just couldn't keep it to myself. I couldn't help but tell others about that. Okay, I hope that you have that same feeling and excitement about the gospel and the fact that you've been set free from your sin, that you can't help but tell others about him and what he has done for you. Now, I'm thankful that the gospel is sufficient for me. I'm thankful that the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross of Calvary was sufficient to save me of all of my sin and meet my need and to give me full salvation. But it's not also sufficient just for me and for you. It's also sufficient for all of my neighbors and all of my family members and all the people that I come in contact with. And here's what the Apostle John said in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. He said, he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So, look, we have something that God has given to us to not just hoard for ourselves, but then to proclaim it, because it's sufficient for others as well as it is for us. So once I receive the gospel, not only do I receive then all the blessings of salvation, and there are a lot of blessings that are wrapped up in the word salvation. I mean, I have the blessing of forgiveness of sin. All of my sin are washed in the blood of the Lamb. And all past, present, and future sin has all been wiped clean, and I've been made white as snow, and I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful for the fact that I have a future that is guaranteed in a place called heaven. I'm thankful that I am now part of God's wonderful family. I'm thankful that I have the Holy Spirit residing within, and now I have a new purpose in this life, a new song to sing, a new message to proclaim. I'm thankful for that. And so I'm thankful for the blessings of salvation, but not only do I receive the blessings, I also receive a responsibility with that gospel. I don't just receive blessings of salvation, I also receive a responsibility to declare that gospel to others, to proclaim it. Or we find in Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 19, therefore teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Mark 16, 15, go and preach the gospel to every creature. In the book of Luke, we're called to preach repentance. In Acts chapter 1, we shall be witnesses unto me, Jesus tells us. So he gives us salvation and all the blessings that come with that, but he also then gives us a responsibility to share that message. So it's not just what's in it for me, but now I have a new purpose to proclaim and declare that to others. Paul preached and proclaimed the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, moreover, I declare unto you the gospel which I have received. And so we have been given this gospel to proclaim, to declare, and we are to declare it. Well, how do we do that? Well, first of all, we declare it and proclaim it with our words, with our words. In the book of Acts, we find several times when the gospel was being proclaimed, and you know what? Every single time, someone was using their words to do so. They weren't delegating this to someone else. They weren't outsourcing it to social media to do the preaching for them. They did it themselves. In Acts chapter number 8, we find Philip, one of the evangelists, one of the deacons in the church. He was an evangelist, but he went and God used him to speak to the Ethiopian who was reading the book of Isaiah chapter 53, and he preached unto him Jesus. He used his words to lead this man to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We have to be willing to use our words. In Acts chapter number 10, we find Peter using his words to preach to a man by the name of Cornelius, who was a religious man, who was a good man, but he didn't know the Lord Jesus. And Peter was used by God to open his mouth and use his words to lead Cornelius to Christ. In Acts chapter number 16, Paul used his words to lead the ladies there at the in Philippi at the brink of the water there and preached to them the Lord Jesus. And then when the jailer, right after the earthquake and all that, he said, "Sirs, what must I be saved?" And they preached unto him and said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." See, they're using their words to get the gospel to people. Now, I remember when our children were young and we were teaching them to talk and, trying to get them to say different things. And I remember one of the things I taught my boy, Seth, to say was hockey. That was one of the first words. That's not very spiritual. I realize that. But I wanted to kind of impart into him some type of manliness. So there we go. That was one of the first words he learned how to say. And I'm not necessarily proud of that, but that's the truth. Okay. It should have been something a little more spiritual, like Bible and things like that. But anyway, look, one of the best uses of the ability that we have to talk is to impart the gospel to others. It's kind of like the ability to read is a wonderful privilege. Well, let's use it to read the scriptures. The ability to talk, one of the greatest uses of that ability is to declare the sweetest words known to man, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Someone once said this, sometimes silence is golden. Sometimes it's just plain yellow. And with our words, are we willing to use our words to proclaim, to declare his glory among the heathen and his wonders among all people? So how do we declare it? How do we proclaim this truth? Well, first with our words, but then secondly with our walk. It's good to say the gospel, but our lives better be backing it up. Because if you say, hey, you need to come to Jesus and be born again, you need to become a Christian, and then you're living like the devil, that's not really inspiring to anybody to come to Christ, because you're just like them. Matthew 5:16, the Bible says, Jesus does, and let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and then glorify your Father which is in heaven. So our lives are to be like a bright and shining light, that they see our lives and as a result glorify God which is in heaven. Philippians 1:27. Paul said, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. So our lives need to be to match the gospel. They don't. Our lives, our words, and our walk need to be connected. They need to match up. 1 Corinthians 9:14, Paul said, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. So again, our lives, it's one of those, you better practice what you preach. You're preaching the gospel that, hey, God will change your life. Well, you better show in your life a life that has been changed, a life that is different. And it's been said many times, but your talk talks and your walk talks, but your walk talks much louder than your talk talks. So we are to use our words, but boy, our lives better match up. It's like the dad who is smoking and drinking and says, son, don't, it's not a good idea for you to smoke and drink. Well, you can say that all day long, but your example is saying something much louder than what you're saying with your mouth. So how do we proclaim it? Well, we need to proclaim it with our words and with our walk. So there is the proclaiming here, and he says in verse number 96, or verse number 3 in verse chapter 96, declare. That's the proclaiming. But then I want us to see secondly here the points. What exactly are we to proclaim? What are the points we are to be making with our mouth and with our walk, with our words and with our walk? What are the things we're to do? Well, I know what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to spend our time convincing everyone about a political party. That's what we're to proclaim. And it is an election year after all, and we better make sure that everybody we know votes for the right political party. That's what we should be proclaiming. No, what about the collapsing economy? That's what we need to be talking about constantly. What about the benefits or the dangers of the COVID vaccine? That's what we need to be proclaiming. We need to be evangelists for these things. I mean, because they're important. They affect people's lives. And I'm not saying that they don't, but you get what I'm saying. See, as God's people, we can easily get off track about what our main point should be. So what are we supposed to be proclaiming according to this verse? What points are we to be making? He doesn't say, declare the Republicans are the party to vote for, or the Democrats are the party to vote for. No, he says in verse number 3, declare his glory among the heathen and his wonders among all people. So first, we are to declare his attributes. We are to declare his glory, who he is. The word glory here means his splendor, his magnificence. So we're to be declaring who he is to those around us. And we're to be declaring his power, his goodness, his holiness, his grace. We're to be talking about his righteousness and his love and his wisdom. And the attributes of God could continue. I mean, we could go on and on here. But we're to be declaring his glory. If you go very quickly, if you hold your place here in Psalm 96 and go back to Psalm 19, just to show you that there are some witnesses to the glory of God. There are those who are proclaiming and declaring the glory of God. Verse number 1 of Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. So his creation, when you look in the night sky and you see those stars, and it's hard to see it here in with all the light pollution of the OKC metro, but when you go out of the mountains, and most of us have, okay, mountains, probably need to clarify to Oklahomans what a mountain is, because we don't really know what that is here. But when you get out into the, you've been in a moment, I'm sure, where you've looked up into the night sky and seen the Milky Way and seen the sea of stars that are out there. That's a testament of the glory of God. His firmament showeth his handiwork. And then you go down in verse number 7 of chapter 19, and it talks about the word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Testimony of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the commandment of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord. So the word of God also declares the glory of God. And going back to Psalm 96, who else is supposed to declare the glory of God? The heavens are, the word of God is, and now, in verse number 3, his people are called to declare the glory of God. That's me. That's you. How are we doing? The heavens are doing a pretty good job at it. The word of God does an amazing job at it. How am I doing? How are you doing? So we're to declare his attributes, but then we're also, secondly, to declare his actions. The things that he has done, his wonders, it says in verse number 3, declare his glory among the heathen and his wonders among all people. I mean, the things that God has done throughout history are pretty wonderful. I mean, creation in six literal 24-hour periods of time, and he did it all with his spoken word. That's pretty wonderful. He has performed glorious miracles. I mean, the parting of the Red Sea and all the 10 plagues and all of those things were all wondrous works that he has done, and we're to declare those things. But one of the things I think is the most wonderful is that he provided a Savior for the world. When Jesus came in the form of a little baby in Bethlehem's manger, that was the most wondrous thing that he could ever do for all of us. And then Jesus lived in a perfect and sinless life and then died upon an old rugged cross and rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Talk about wonders to share with others. So we're to declare his attributes, but we're also to declare his actions. Of course, the gospel, when you think about it, encapsulates both his attributes and his actions. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ shows us the wonderful attributes of God. It shows us his holiness. It shows us his righteousness. But it also shows us his mercy and his love, all wrapped into one truth. Then we also see the actions are wonderful in what I just mentioned. He lived and died and rose again and ascended up into heaven and is going to come back for us. Talk about pretty wonderful things. So these are the points we are to be making. You can kind of say the big point we're to be proclaiming is the gospel. That's the gospel. That's what we're to be declaring among the heathen and among all people. Not our pet thing that we get, you know, want to get on a little soapbox about health or about finances or about business or about favorite teams or all those things. We need to step off of that soapbox and get on the soapbox of telling people about the gospel. Verse number 2 says this, sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation. Now, that's what we're supposed to be proclaiming. That's the point of our life. Now, thirdly, I want us to see not only the proclaiming and the points, but I want us to look at the people. Who are we to be declaring these things? Who are we to be proclaiming these points to? Well, verse number 3 says, declare his glory among the heathen, and then his wonders among all people. So is it just to the people that I think should get this message? Like people that I like? Now, that's kind of what Jonah thought. Right? Jonah thought, hey, I'll go to deliver God's message to the people that I think are worthy to receive it, but the Ninevites, I don't think they're worthy to receive it. So therefore, I'm not willing to go to them. You know, a lot of people, a lot of Christians are, hey, I'll tell the gospel to people that are kind of like me, and they need the gospel, but people who are not from my culture, who don't speak my language, let somebody else do that. Is it that we're supposed to just declare these things just to the elect, just to the ones who are, you know, part of, who God knows are going to be saved? The problem is, none of us do. So let's just get the gospel to everybody. Because of verse number 3, it says we are to give them, to declare this among the heathen. Now, when we hear that word, we think of someone who's really bad or being bad. Oh, you heathen, you know, we might say to even a Christian friend. But the truth is, actually, all of us are wicked and wretched in God's sight. And according to the Bible, we're referred to as ungodly, as sinners, without strength, and even enemies of God. But what does this word heathen mean? Well, Webster's 1828 dictionary says it means a pagan, a Gentile, one who worships idols, or is unacquainted with the true God. In the scriptures, the word seems to comprehend all nations except the Jews or Israelites, as they were all strangers to the true religion and all addicted to idolatry. So really, the heathen in verse number 3 was, in this verse, was to anyone and everyone who did not know God and does not know God. And there are a lot of people who do not know God. Brother Randy mentioned in the song service a little bit ago, are there people in other countries who do not know the Lord? Yes, absolutely. It's mind-boggling how many people outside of the United States who are not saved. But what about in our own borders, as Brother Randy pointed out? There are still a lot of people who do not know the Lord. Yes, even in the Bible Belt of Oklahoma, there are people here who absolutely do not know the Lord, who are what the Bible would call heathen. So there's a lot of people here who may know about God, but they don't know God. And see, there is a huge difference. Verse number 10, if you, Psalm 96, verse 10, say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. So we're to get the gospel to the heathen, those who do not know the Lord. And in case you say, well, I'm wondering still, you know, who that all means that we're supposed to be doing this to, go back to verse number 3. Declare his glory among the heathen and his wonders among, what are the next two words? Let's try that again. Looking at verse number 3, declare his glory among the heathen and his wonders among, what are the last two words? All people, everyone. Why? Why should we be doing this to everyone? Because everyone is precious to God, and God desires that all people would be saved. John 3 and verse number 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, all people, everyone has the ability to be saved. 1 Timothy 2 and verse number 3 says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. See, God desires that all men, everyone, all people, the heathen, all people would be saved. 2 Peter 3, 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God desires to save each and every one of us and everybody outside of these walls as well, regardless of race. It doesn't matter if, I remember my brother-in-law, when he was filling out a form, he told our church this when we were in Montana. He said, yeah, when it comes to race, whenever I fill out a form, it says, what race are you? I always write in human. Part of the human race, because there's only one race. Doesn't matter what pigment of color your skin is. You are a human being and you need the gospel. Good look, red, yellow, black, and white. We know this. We're all precious in his sight. So regardless of race, we need to get the gospel to people. Regardless of their financial status. Well, boy, if they come to our church, they're not going to give very much. Who cares? That's not why we're in it. We're in it to reach people for the gospel's sake, regardless of their financial status, regardless of their religious background, regardless of how popular they are, or how talented they are. It does not matter, regardless of what they have done in their life. Look, God loves them and desires that they would be part of His family. And so He's told us here in verse 3 to declare His glory among the heathen and His wonders among all people. In Mark 16, 15, Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Every person that you come in contact with has a soul and will spend eternity somewhere. We need to have this reminder this morning that we are to declare His glory among the heathen and His wonders among all people. So the gospel needs to go to everyone, to the religious people, to the atheist, to those caught up in the cults, to the homosexuals, to the transgender crowd. What do they need? No, they need legislation. I wouldn't be opposed to certain legislation. Right? I wouldn't be opposed to electing people that would hold to biblical values, but what they need most is not more laws, they need the gospel. In 1 Corinthians, Paul said to those people there who were caught up in a lot of these things that are a problem today, he said, "Such were some of you." But what changed in their life? They got the gospel. They didn't get more legislation. And I'm for, you know, things that are in line with the scriptures, absolutely, but what they need most is the gospel. So let's get passionate about getting the gospel to them. That's what's going to change their lives. Gospel needs to go to everyone. It needs to go to the Republicans. Oh, Republicans, aren't they all saved? Nope. Does it need to go to the Democrats? Yes, it needs to go to the Democrats. It needs to go to the independents, to the libertarians. It needs to go to everybody. It needs to go to the rich, to the poor, to the CEOs, to those locked up in prison, to the elite of society, to the educated, to the drug addicts, to the homeless. The gospel needs to go to the heathen and to, what it says here, all people. Why? Well, look in verse number 4. "For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods." That's why we need to proclaim His glory and His wonders among all people, is because the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. See, it's about getting more people to give Him praise and give Him glory. It's not about me. It's not about getting notches on our belt. Verse number 7 says this, "Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength." See, we're trying to get more people part of that kindred who will give unto the Lord glory and strength. It's not about me. It's not about, yeah, I had 12 out saved today. I mean, it's not about me. It's not about building our church per se. It's about getting more people to give Him glory, give Him praise. D.L. Moody made a covenant with God one day that he would witness for Christ to at least one person every day. Well, one night about 10 o'clock, he realized that he had not witnessed to anybody that day. So he went out to the street and spoke to a man standing by a lamppost. And he asked him, "Are you a Christian?" Well, the man just immediately flew into a violent rage and threatened to knock Moody into the gutter. Later, that same man went to somebody in the church and complained that D.L. Moody was doing more harm in Chicago than 10 men were doing good. And the man in the church begged Moody to maybe kind of bring it down a couple notches on his zeal and to have a little bit of knowledge with that zeal. Well, 3 months later, Moody was awakened at the YMCA by a man knocking at the door, and it was the man he had witnessed to 3 months earlier. And that man said, "I want to talk to you about my soul," he said to Moody. And he apologized for the way he had treated him and said that he had no peace ever since that night on Lake Street when Moody witnessed to him. And Moody then led the man to Christ and became a zealous worker in Sunday school. Now, look, we need to get the gospel to everybody. But that gospel isn't just for everybody outside the room. It's also for the people in the room. You're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. I want to declare the gospel unto you. Because all of us need it. Without it, we're doomed. All of us, without the gospel, are doomed to an eternity in a Christless place called hell. All of us deserve that. So do you. So you need the gospel. Have you repented and believed the gospel? I hope you have. Last thought here before we wrap this up. Number four here, the places, to consider the places. We're to go to the people, but those people are in different places. In Psalm 96 and verse number 9, if you look there, it says, "O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, fear before Him all the earth." So for those living all over the earth, they need to get the gospel. Verse number 3 is very similar to what is said in 1 Chronicles 16:24. And that verse says, "Declare His glory among the heathen, His marvelous works among all nations." So we are to take the gospel, yes, to all people, but that includes going to all nations. That includes getting the gospel out and about. Matthew 28:19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Acts 1:8, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Now, how many of you, by show of hands, have ever double booked yourself? Would you raise your hand? Or you've kind of scheduled two things to happen at the same time on accident, or maybe you booked something and you forgot that you had another appointment that same time. I've done that on more than one occasion. And it's disconcerting knowing that you can't be in two places at once. And here we're called in Acts 1:8 to be witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part. Like, how do we do that? I can't clone myself. Not that this world would want more than just one of me. but we can't do that. So how can we do that? We can't be physically present in all of these places at once. But we can do this. We can prayerfully and financially support others who are boots on the ground in these various places. Like in Uganda, like in Israel. We can't be there right now. We're here. This is where God wants us. But for some, God wants them in Uganda. For some, God wants them in Israel and Germany and Spain and all the different countries. And maybe God would want you to be in a different country. And if so, let's be willing. Let's be willing to do that. But who's then responsible for declaring His glory and His wonders among the heathen and among all people here in Moore in the OKC Metro? I'm glad you asked. We are. So how are you doing with that? When was the last time that you gave out a gospel tract? When was the last time you talked to somebody about the gospel? When was the last time you showed up to church outreach? We had a great opportunity twice this past week. Once on Thursday night, once yesterday. Now, I know that you don't have to show up to an organized time to be a witness and be involved in outreach, but how are you doing? How are you doing? There is a place that we are to do this, and it's in our own Jerusalem. How are you doing? Not how we as a church are doing. How are you individually doing it? Declare His glory among the heathen and His wonders among all people. That's not just the church. That's individual as well. How are you doing it? Look, I know it's more comfortable to hang out in the church house than it is to go out into the harvest field. Remember what Jesus told His disciples. Don't say that they are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already. harvest. There needs to be an urgency to go out into the fields. Sadly, most just want to hang out in the church house. Someone wrote a song, and the lyrics of that song go like this, and I won't sing it, but I'll read it. There is peace and contentment in my Father's house today. Oh, lots of food on his table, and no one's turned away. There is singing and laughter as the hours pass by, but a hush calms the singing as the Father sadly cries. Oh, my house is full, but my field, it's empty. Who will go and work for me today? It seems my children all want to stay around my table, but no one wants to work in my fields. No one wants to work in my fields. So please, push away from the table. Look out through the window pane. Just beyond the house of plenty lies a field of golden grain, and it's ripe, white into harvest. Oh, but the reapers, where are they? Oh, they're in the house. Oh, can't the children hear the father sadly say, my house is full, but my field is empty. Who will go and work for me today? Oh, it seems my children all want to stay around my table. No one wants to work my fields. No one wants to work in my fields. Friend, would you be willing to work in his fields? I know the fellowship that we can enjoy is wonderful and it's sweet. And tonight, we're going to enjoy a nice time together around some tables. But it's not just to give us nourishment so that we can continue on doing our own thing. Hopefully, it gives us that strength so that we can work in his fields come Monday. Praise the Lord, the Stensis family has chosen to work in the field called Uganda, Africa. Praise the Lord that the Haley family has answered the call to go work in the field of Israel. Would you be willing to answer the call to work in the field of Moore in the OKC Metro? Because this is the harvest field that God wants us to reach. We are the ones. We are the ones. So there is a proclaiming. We need to declare it. We need to declare it with our words and with our walk. The gospel. To who? To all people. It does not matter. If they are breathing, they need the gospel. Don't say, well, I don't want to talk to them because, yeah, they give me the EBGBs. Number one, I want to find out what the definition of EBGBs is. Pretty sure that's not a Bible word. Now, we are to give the gospel to everybody. I thank God that the gospel came to me. Again, freely we have received, and now we need to freely give. We need to give the gospel to all people in all places. We can do that through our giving. Tonight, we'll have an opportunity to fill out this commitment card to be able to financially partake in helping get the gospel around the world. Then that's not just, okay, I'm done with my part of missions. I'm paying someone else to do it. No, we need to do our own part here simultaneously as giving. Yeah. One more verse and then we'll be done here. Psalm 96 and verse number 2. I want to show you this. It says here, sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation. And then notice the rest of this verse. From day to day. So when are we to do this? When are we to be his witnesses? When are we to proclaim the point of his glory and his wonders among all people? When are we to do this? Once in a while, when we feel like it, when it's comfortable and convenient in my schedule? Are we to do it just once in a blue moon or waiting and just till we have a special outreach opportunity here at Cornerstone? That's when we'll do it. No, verse number 2, show forth his salvation from day to day. Every day should be a day where we're looking to declare his glory among the heathen. Every day we should be looking to share his wonders among all people. Every day we are to show forth his salvation from day to day. Not just once in a blue moon, not just, yeah, it was the last time I did that a few years ago. No, it should be every day. from day to day. Now, I realize things come up, and you know, D.L. Moody had that mentality that I'm going to make this a daily thing. I think it'd be helpful and healthy for some in our church to have that same decision that every day I'm going to look for somebody to witness to. Every day. Because we're to show forth His salvation, not just from year to year, but from day to day. Day to day. With that, let's have a word of prayer.